Thank God. Well, we're going to, the last several weeks, we've been talking about our theme verse has been Philippians 1:6, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And, if you didn't hear last week's message, I would get that, off the website. I believe there's some good things said, and, just looking to him to do what God does not need our ability and our strength to get done what he needs to get done. And he's not impressed with it. He is the creator of all things. All he needs is a willing vessel. That's what he needs, is somebody that's willing to be used. And so we talked about that, and I want to read a couple of the verses that we left off on. We'll read this first one, and then a couple, and then we're going to go in just build on where we've been in a little bit different direction. So Philippians 1, this is what we've read several times the last few weeks. Philippians 1:3 says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always and in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace." And so, we've said that it's God working in us and changing us, but the thing I want to focus on today is how is the main thing, the main way he changes us. He's working in us, but one of the main ways that our lives are going to change and he's going to work in us is when we change our thinking. To believe, our job is to believe, okay? If we'll just believe what he said, then he can work in us. It's not a works program. It's not a 7-step program, 12-step program. You name your how many steps and the way you achieve success. It's not that. It's to believe what he has told us to do, believe what he's called you to do, and to do it, and to trust him for it. But how do you believe? I mean, believing's from the heart. But if you say, well, I'm going to be in faith about something, I'm just going to believe it, but you think the same way you've always thought about stuff, then your believing is going to be the same. If your believing is going to be the same, your acting will be the same. Because if you say you believe something, but you really think about it a different way, you don't really believe. We need to reprogram our minds with the Word of God, get into our hearts, and then believing just flows. But if you're trying, see, believing isn't trying. I think sometimes we can get the idea that if we try to believe, I'm going to try to believe God. I'm just going to really, like it's a will thing. It's not a will thing. Like one man said, faith begins where the will of God is known. And when you know what the will of God is, faith automatically will follow. It's not you working something up. I mean, so many times we can get the idea that faith is something that we grab a hold of. I'm not going to let go. I'm going to believe. Bless God, I'm going to believe. Like it's you doing it. No, it's when we understand the truth and we decide to believe that. But when we see it in the Word, faith is just believing what we've read, what we've heard. And so if we understand the right things, if we see the right things, then faith is just letting that influence our life. But if we hear the Word or see the Word and choose to negate it and instead choose to think the way we've always thought about our life, nothing's going to change. It won't change. Because we've heard it. It's like it says over, I think it's in Mark 4, the parable of the sower sowing the Word. The word's going forth right now. We're reading the Word. But the devil's going to try to steal it in any number of ways. If he gets you distracted, right? And I've said this, I'm not going to re-preach those sermons. But it applies here. If right now you're distracted by what's going on outside or something in the week or whatever, and the Word's going forth, the devil's stolen it. That's all he needs to do. It goes no further than your ears, it's gone. Now, if he can get you to hear it, even if you're excited about it, But then he gets you distracted or says, ah, you walk out the door, you were excited, but you say, ah, is that really true? And he'll bring thoughts. If he can get you to negate it there, fine. He's satisfied with that. It's not going to change you. Some people, you get it, you're excited, you start putting it into practice, you start walking through your week, but then when things get difficult, it starts to look like things aren't changing because of the word. People get offended and they drop it there, say, forget it. That's fine too. The devil's okay with that because you let it go. One way or another, you let it go. But if we'll take it, we'll receive it, we'll let it change our minds, we'll say, when we look at circumstances, even if it looks like nothing has changed, but we know what the Word of God says, we choose to believe that, we change the way we think, we look at a circumstance, we've always thought one way about it, but we realize that God's Word says a different way, we say, no, that's not right, mine, you're going to have to change, it's this way, we stick with that. If we'll stick with it, over time, we'll reap the benefits. And so our thinking, how we think about it, is very important. We need to reprogram our mind, renew our mind, change the way we think so that we agree with God. Because as we go through our daily lives, this week, when we leave church, our mind is going to go back to the way it's like, you know, our minds have like ruts, ways of doing things, which is can be good, can be bad. It's not a bad or a good thing. Ruts has a bad connotation, but the way you think in it daily, if it's a habit, if it's a good habit, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. That's a good thing. God created children like that, like us. If we get programmed a certain way, and it's hard to go away from it, good or bad. But either way, it can be broken. You can see good habits. If people are going to be around people they shouldn't, over and over and over, eventually those good habits will get worn down. And they'll go off the wrong path. Same thing, if we have bad habits, but we renew our mind with the Word of God, we can change our bad habits into good habits. But we need to renew our mind. And it's not, again, it's not a task that we have to do it. I'm going to set about renewing my mind. No, if we'll just let God's Word be the first authority in our life. Right now, us being together and hearing the Word, we're renewing our minds if we'll let it happen. The Word's going forward. The Holy Spirit is quickening things in our hearts. Now, our job is just to let that be the authority in our life. Don't let circumstances or outside things dictate where we're going to go or how we're going to think. We program our mind so that even if circumstances look contrary or feelings are contrary, that we choose to reprogram our thinking with what this says. As we do that, our thinking changes to where we look at circumstances, where we used to look at it a certain way, we've changed to where now we look at it God's way, and we go down the path that He wants us to. Not that we worked about, He did the change. His Word changed us. We let Him renew. Now, but that does that mean we just sit on our hands and do nothing? No, the thing we have to do is just give attention to the Word. That's essentially it, is that we let it be the authority. But I wanted to read one scripture before we went on that we read last week in the Amplified. And this is just a good thing. This is a good thing to pray over yourself. You can make this a prayer, because that's what Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, is saying. He's praying it for these other Christians. But this is encompasses what we've been talking about. That is God who's going to do this in us. Verse 20, it says now, Hebrews 13, verse 20, now may the God of peace, who is the author and giver of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed, ratified the everlasting agreement, a covenant or testament, may that God strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out His will, while He Himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to whom be glory forever and ever, to the ages of ages. Amen. So be it. Well, let's read verse 21 again. This is where we ended up last week. May God strengthen, complete, perfect, make you what you ought to be. He's going to do it. May He do it in us. May He do it in you. Not you take it by the horns and you're going to do it. No, may He do it. May He strengthen us, complete us, perfect us, make us what we ought to be. We all know we're not there, but may He make us what we ought to be and equip us with everything good that you may carry out His will while He Himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in His sight. That He's doing it. He's helping us. He's bringing us along. He's showing us. He's making the tweaks. Does He just do it all on His own? No, He does it with our cooperation. Our job is just to believe that He's doing it. How are we going to believe that He's doing it? By paying attention to the Word and transforming our mind. Just looking at Him. Just looking at the Word. Getting it so that we take out the thinking that we've had that is maybe causing us to act a certain way and replace it with His thinking. And really that just comes from spending time with Him and just looking to Him. He'll do it. He'll help us to do it. It's not something that we have to do. What we do is just cooperate with Him. But a lot of it starts with our thinking, just believing, looking at situations differently. In Romans 12, the next scripture there. Romans 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, that's our job. We just present. We bring it. We say, God, like we said last week, God, here I am. For good, bad, different, I'm here. Everything that I have is yours. That's our job. Just to come and make ourselves available. But I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are we going to be transformed? By the renewing of our mind. To what? To the way God thinks. To the way He thinks. See, when we come up against a situation, and we've come up against it 500 times in our life, whatever it is. I mean, if you've worked a job for it all, you may be in the same situation over and over and over. But how do you view it? How do you look at things? When you come to it, what is the thought process? Things are happening in your brain. How are you reacting? See, the difference is when we come up against something and we say, okay, now, this is how I've always reacted, but this is what I believe God's showing me. This is the way God sees the situation. Now, instead of the way I've seen it, the way I've reacted, the way my feelings want to go, the way everything in my past wants to take me, I'm not going to go that way. I'm renewing my mind. Now, this is what God says. Now, I have a choice here. I can choose to let what I've always done and what my previous thought patterns and actions have done made me maybe act. Or I can say, no, this is what God says, so I'm going to believe that. No matter how much we put things in our minds, there's going to come a test where we have to decide which way we're going to go. And that's how the change comes. We start to actually believe God because we've been putting His word, paying attention to Him, not being conformed to all the stuff around us, because that's like a river. Living the Christian life is like a river, a mighty river, and you're walking upstream. Everything in this world, not everything, all the ungodly things, is trying to carry us this way. Everything will tell you. If people tell you, God's not real. God doesn't matter. And if you do serve God, you might get a little benefit, but, it's not of eternal value. it's much better to spend your time doing this or on pleasure or whatever. It's all trying to suck you this way. And to go against that, it's like walking upstream in this river. Now, is it our power that's going to do it? No. But if we just, if we don't look, take our eyes off all that stuff and look to Him, it's so easy sometimes then, and we've all been there, just say, ah, and you just get carried downstream. Because everything, it is. Everything is going against the way, and it is going more and more that way. God has a way of doing things. He has things set up, but the world is telling you that doesn't matter. They're calling the good things bad and the bad things good. We see that more and more. Good people are being called evil. Evil people are being called good. Totally backwards. So we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that is not a religious phrase. That just means we're letting God's word change the way we think about situations. Over in Ephesians 4, it says something similar. Ephesians 4:20. It says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. Your old conduct. The old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Your old man, the person that you used to be, and be renewed in the spirit or the attitude of your mind. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. But that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed. That we be renewed. That we, and we're all continually in this process. When we, from the time we're born again to the time we get to heaven, be renewed, renewing our minds to where we think like Him. We come to a situation and we look at it differently than we used to. We look at it the way He would. And when we look at it the way He looks at it, we'll see the results that He wants us to have. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. This is a familiar passage of Scripture to some people. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Says, now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And so Paul is saying, when we come, we are sharing the word of God that goes against what the world says. He is saying, we are presenting the word of God, which opposes all the thoughts that are prevalent, which is exactly what the word of God does today. So verse 4, for he's saying people are regarding us against as in the flesh. But we're speaking the words of God. We're speaking according to what He says. And that our arguments, the things that we are saying, are able to come against these arguments that people have that are prevalent. He said, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And those are thoughts anywhere for people. The prevalent thought patterns of the day, God's word is able to go against it and counter it. And in our mind, the same thing. So in context, he's talking about them sharing the word of God with these people. That's what he's talking about. And that the weapons of our warfare are able to do that. In verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There's all kinds of that stuff out here, out in the world. The true knowledge of God, there's things that are exalting itself, saying all these things about what the Word of God says. God's not real, God's not faithful, God does this, God. Those are all arguments that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. But we can apply this to ourselves as well, that when things in our minds are against the way God would have us think, that we can replace it, that we can argue against it. We can use the Word of God to examine the way we've been thinking and again, renew our minds so that those things, those old arguments fall by the wayside. Now let's read this in a couple other translations. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, in the New Living Translation says, "We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments." See, every one of us has these things embedded in our minds. Do we, you know, every one of us, when we were children, unless we had absolutely, you know, pure as the wind-driven snow, childhood, we had things embedded in us somehow, some way, that are arguments that exalt themselves against the true knowledge of God. They're not the truth. And we've carried some of that along with us, and there's certain things, certain areas that we view life in that are lies. The lens we look at certain situations from are not right. The devil got in there somehow, some way, through some person, some show, some book, something some teacher said, something some one of our friends said, and planted something in there that causes us to see things incorrectly. And we're still carrying some of that with us, every one of us, to some degree. And what we're saying is, like he says in verse 4, we use God's mighty weapons, him. Again, him working in us, like it says in Hebrews. He is working in us as we just yield to him. Look at the Word of God. That Word of God pushes out the things that are false, that have maybe built up over years in our minds. Verse 4, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, not things that the world uses or methods or plans, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Things that are not true. Things that are lies. The lenses that are incorrect. And to move them away so we can see clearly the way God sees. Verse 5, we destroyed every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. See, that's what Paul's talking about in context. He's saying we are going in preaching the Word of God, and that Word of God is destroying the obstacles that people are saying, nope, this is not true. He's saying we're preaching, and it will come and cut through all that and allow people to see clearly. And what he's talking about is for them to receive Christ and to believe on God. But we can't apply this to our lives. We can't apply it to our mind, because this is the same thing, just like Paul was preaching to these people, introducing the Word into their lives so they could see differently. That's what we do in our own lives. Because as we hear the Word of God, as we read the Word of God, it's having the same effect. It is going to destroy the obstacles that have caused us to not walk in His ways. Caused us, basically, to get us where we are in life. Good, bad, or indifferent. But when we start looking and letting His Word destroy those things, our thinking changes, our actions change, because we don't look at we don't look at our life the same. We see clearly. I can see clearly now. You know, the rain's gone. I can see that I was looking at this situation, but I was blind. I could not see it. I was deceived. I could not see. I thought I was seeing clearly, but what I was believing was a lie. And then I see the truth and God's Word. I see something in God's Word. Suddenly I come to this situation. I realize I can see what's really going on here. Now I can walk around that situation and walk the way I ought to walk. I can respond the way God would have me to respond and to destroy the things that have lied to me and kept me in the same path. Now, I'm not saying that has to be a huge thing in our life. I'm saying this pattern happens in every part of our life. And there are some parts we've seen the light. And we're coming up to the situation, say, oh no, I believe what God says. And I've seen, oh man, I used to be like that. Thank God I'm not. And there's other areas we are still completely blind in. You may be able to see it in my life. I may be able to see something in your life, but I don't see it. And the God's word has renewed my mind in this other area. I've been transformed, but in this other, I don't even see what I'm doing wrong. I can't see it. I'm still deceived. That's not a bad confession. It's called being human. Because every one of us has some of that in our lives somewhere. Period. Anybody that tells you different is selling something or just self-deceived. There's no way, because until we get to heaven, when we get to heaven, Paul says over in Romans that we see as through a glass darkly. We don't see everything perfect. But thank God we can renew our mind and we can be closer to the truth tomorrow than we are today. Everybody, we all know that we have some bad doctrine in our life, right? And that's not a bad confession. That means that we don't know everything perfect as we ought. Would anybody on the face of the earth stand up and say, I have the complete truth, everything, I know it? That's a slippery slope. Because what you do at that point, you close yourself down to anything that could actually point you in the right direction. But thank God, God's word keeps pushing us in the right direction. And he'll help us to get through and just to destroy these things that have lied to us. In the message, the same verse, it says, the world is unprincipled. It's dog eat dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't have to live or fight our battles that way. We never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. That last clause, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Shaped by God. Who's Jesus? He is the Word. So we are fitting our lives based on renewing our mind with what He has said. Going and letting His Word, letting Jesus determine how we look at things. And as we do that, our lives change. Thank God. As we go about looking to Him, as we let the Word of God change our thinking, so that when we go up against certain obstacles, we start to see it the way God sees it. Not the way we've always seen it, but we realize the way I was looking at this is wrong. That's why I'm having so much problems, because I keep going and I do the same thing and I do the same thing and I do the same thing and I keep having problems. And the reason now I see is because I was believing a lie. I come up to it and I think, I look at the situation a certain way and I realize that was the wrong way to look at it. Now I can see clearly how I should have looked at it. And now, going forward, I can look at it differently and I can have different results. And that's a process. But God helps us. God helps us to renew our minds. And as we just look to Him, our job is to look to Him and to look at His Word and make it an authority so that we'll believe, or so that we'll act on what He is saying. Now, I want to give you, let's turn over You're going to look on your sheet there to 1 Samuel 17. We were talking about David last week. But I want to give another example of David. So David, we talked about him last week, that he was anointed king by Samuel, that God did not look on his outward appearance. But here is the famous account of David and Goliath. Now, David was spending time with God. He was letting the word of God dictate how he looked at things in life. Now I want you to notice something as we read this account. This is the account of David and Goliath, and what happened leading up to that. So, up until this point, right before this, Goliath is coming out, and Goliath, you know, they say he's been 9-10 feet tall, and not just a twig either, not like, you know, some of the basketball players, but huge. I mean, just massive. David's probably on the order between, he's no more than 6 feet, for sure, probably 5.5 feet. And he's young. He's a kid. He's 17. But this whole army, the Philistines come out, and their champion, Goliath, comes out every morning, and he's saying, basically, you send me your best guy. The two armies are arrayed against each other. And Goliath goes out there and says, you send me your best, and we're going to fight. And whoever wins... If we win, you're our slaves. If you win, we're our slaves. But here I am. I'm the champion. You send me whoever you got. And those people were scared. And this, he did this every morning. Goliath goes out there. Goliath goes out there and he says this every morning. And the people are scared. The men, these men who have been warriors, are scared. Nobody wants to go out and fight Goliath. Then David comes along. And David hears this man speak, and he looks at it differently. See, it's the same situation, but he has God's perspective on it. All these other people are Israelites. Saul himself, the king, probably should have been the one that was out there. The one, he was a head and shoulders above every man in Israel. Saul should have been out. Saul wasn't out there fighting. All these other men weren't out there fighting. David comes and looks at the same situation. And he looks at it differently. So David starts going around and telling people, what's going to be done for the person that beats this Philistine? And he goes to the next guy. What's going to be done? And they tell him, he's not going to have to pay taxes, and he gets to marry the king's daughter and all this stuff. And so this gets back to Saul, that David's asking about what's going to be done, who kills this man. What is going on? So they bring him before the king. So verse 31, it says, now when the words of David, that which David spoke, were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. But David, he looked at this situation differently. He looked at it the way God looked at it. Verse 33, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with them, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. The king says, you can't do it. But David believed God. He did not believe men. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. See, he convinced the king. The king was saying, you're not going to do it. You can't do it. And David started preaching to him and saying, no, I'm going to do it. And I did this, and I beat up the lion and the bear, and this guy's going to be just like them. And Saul said, go and do it. And he got the king on his side. Verse 38, so Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. So Saul gave, so well, if you're going to go, you better take all the stuff that I'm going to give you and give you all this big armor that David can't handle. He said, no, I can't use that. I haven't used it. I didn't use it with the lion. I didn't use it with the bear. Forget that. No, you take it back. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. So his shield was so big he had somebody holding that. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? He's making fun of him. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. So he's talking trash. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I'll take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into our hands. So see, he had a different mindset. He came. Same problem. Same problem. All these men could have stepped out. But David, who's a little, 17-year-old boy, comes up. God, he has let God speak to him. He steps out and he tells the giant what's going to happen to him. And we all know what happened. He did that. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. He said, I'm going to kill you. I mean, imagine that. David is a little boy. He's 17. He's not big. 5.5 feet probably. He's looking at this 9-10 foot giant and said, you're going down, buddy. I'm taking your head off. Any one of those men could have done that if they had believed God. But the Spirit of God was on David. He believed it. He acted on it. And he did something that was impossible. But had he thought differently, had he said, oh no, that guy's big. Forget it. That's the way all those other guys thought. See, he thought differently. He looked at the problem differently. And it's the same thing. When you come up against something in your life, it's the exact same thing. You look at it, you can either look at it based on what you can do, or you can look at it based on what God has said in his word. And you can say, look, you're going down. God has said it. It's going to be this way. And so I'm acting on God's word. I'm going right along with what he said, and I believe he'll do what he said he's going to do. And that's the way it is. As we let God work in us and let God renew our minds, we'll see life differently. When something looks like we can't do it, we'll look at God's word and say, no, God said I can do it, so I can. Look, I don't feel like it. David may have, inside, he may have said, oh man, what did I get myself into? That guy is huge. He's twice my size. More than that. Twice my height. Probably 8 times my weight. But he just acted on what God's word says, and that comes from just spending time with him. Just looking to God, spending time with him, changing the way we think, changing the way we look at stuff. And it's a process, but God is working in us, and he'll help us to get where we need to be. He will. He'll help us to change our minds. He'll help us to look at situations different. Thank God.